I'm curious. I do think that a lot of these billionaires have the opportunity to truly change the nonprofit sector. Do I think that they're all going to do it?
We're here today. We're going to change tech. We're not even going to like have a topic. We're going to do a hot take on an article that came out this week called Philanthropy is a Scam. If there's one person I would talk to about this article, it's you, man, because you and I have both dealt with philanthropy, philanthropists of small, large, and corporate organizations. And I want to read one paragraph that kind of resonated to me. And then we're going to get into the questions I sent over to you. Sound good, man? You game?
Good.
All right. So one of the key paragraphs that kind of hit me right away was, in recent years, these new philanthropists eager to remodel the charitable sector in the image of their business endeavors have come to unequivocally dominate the field. Where philanthropists of old felt compelled to selectively fund the arts and scientists to express their exalted taste as representatives of the cultural elite, it is in this new generation's track record of profit making, which has, in its eyes, earned it the right and the responsibility to determine which social problems need solving.
I mean, the first question I have is it your money? And the answer is no, it's not your money. It's you can do whatever you want with regards to philanthropy, philanthropic giving with your money. Bill Gates's money, it's Bill Gates's money. He is free to do whatever he wants to do with his billions of dollars that he has. I want our billionaires to be donating. All right. Okay. And I personally want them to be more like Bill Gates. So, now, what do you think about that? What are your thoughts?
So what I find interesting about it is that the definition of philanthropy, she linked so closely to the billionaires. And I won't say that she sidestepped the small giver. She talks about them as like being nice and giving, and that giving itself is kind of its own problem. And I was kind of confused here because, okay, I personally think that there is a bit of celebrityism around how much you give,
sure,
which click you're giving to. And sure, there is some broken elements about the fact that these billionaires tend to give to other billionaires or to other people in their community versus really reaching out. Now, that's not everybody, but yes, that's where I see things as being broken. So you could have an environmental fund, which really does zero work, but is gaining hundreds of millions of dollars just because of the person or the people that are on the board. You know, the people that come from the community can raise money from that community. And I would argue that creates inefficiency. Now, it's a market. They're willing, they can do whatever they want with their money. I'm not here to say that. But this is where the inefficiency of philanthropy, I think, become a problem.
I get exhausted by this philanthropy is dead conversation that comes up every single freaking year, and how we need to innovate it. We don't need to innovate it. We just need to like see what does work, which is the vast majority of philanthropy, the vast majority of it. Yeah. And then look at the few areas that need to be changed, that need to be updated. And I would arguably say that billionaires, that's not the area that's broken. Like, why are we focusing on where billionaires are giving their money? Like,
in your mind, then, what are the few areas that need change, or what are the few areas that are broken?
You know, I would say that it's this, I would say it's more of like an esoteric kind of problem challenge we have, in that the vast, vast, vast majority of people just don't understand the nonprofit sector. They just do not understand it. They do not understand that there is profit in nonprofit. Their brains, like their eyes roll behind their heads when they're like, what? Like, nonprofits have profit and loss statements?
They have staff, paid staff?
You have experts, bonuses? Yeah. What?
Yeah.
What? And so, it has to run like a company? They have a really, really hard time with that. And I don't know how to I don't even know if it's possible. Now, right. The nonprofit sector is a massive, massive industry.
Yeah.
But, you know, largely they kind of just ignore all those people. Yep. You know,
another area where I would kind of explore is like, okay, these billionaires, they think they have a better model. Do they think that, I mean, I guess
they might.
And they might. I mean, the one thing that I keep coming back down to, kind of related to what you were speaking through, is that efficiency of the organizations or the impact. I think it's a good and bad thing, because NGOs need more accountability, but sometimes they have over accountability because the expectations are way out of whack, right? Like,
yes,
you're gonna solve all these big problems that we've created, but you're not allowed to pay yourself. Okay, that's a stupid expectation. But then there's a lot of people who literally just, they slide by because they seem to be in the right space. They're good people, whatever. Like, I kind of feel like this is where the billionaires or the more entrepreneurial, the people who built organizations that started on their own, built it, made $1 billion, are coming in saying, you know what? This is where we can solve something. It's like,
yeah, maybe.
We hate inefficiency. We hate the lack of accountability. We want to get shit done.
Yeah, maybe. Like I like, you know, I think it's Mark Benioff, the guy from Salesforce. He's one of these really progressive. I like the guy. I think that he's a really interesting guy. But like, with regards to his company, he gives away 1% of his income.
Right.
And then also he sat down and looked at the salaries of all of his employees and made sure that women were in line with men and corrected it. And he took responsibility for it. Like, he walks the walk and he talks the talk. Yeah. Like, he's someone that's really interesting in that standpoint.
In that sense, like, do you think that these Uber donors can bring a lot of benefit to the organizations that they're like, are they better than the average person that just walks by and gives you $100?
It depends on how much money they give.
Let's say they give you
$1 million. Like, I'm gonna be honest with you. So you have one person that gives $100.
Right.
And then you've got one person that gives $100,000.
Yeah.
Which one are you gonna be able to have more impact with? The $100,000, obviously. Now, do you have the capacity to scale to $1,100 donors? Okay, well then that's a different kind of question.
Right.
So I would say I would much rather that $100,000 from one donor.
Yeah. Now, as an entrepreneur, would you rather take money from another entrepreneur or from someone who doesn't know the space but is passionate about the issue?
I think that's a question of, I think you have two different, I'm gonna answer that in two different ways. One is money. I don't care. I just don't care. If you believe in the mission, the vision, the programming, I want you to get involved.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're rich or not. I don't care what your job title is. Board member?
Yeah.
Okay, well that's interesting. Yeah. Advisory board member? That might be, that now we're talking about capacity.
Yeah.
But it's
And this is where I think, like, I've always actually, like, going back to Bill Gates, I've always been a fan of the work that he's doing. Not that he gets everything right, but that, he built an organization with his own money, staffed 1,500 PhDs with the express goal of ending polio, malaria, now launching COVID vaccines. Like, he takes these big things on. Now, does he have failures and does he talk about them? I can take that point that he probably doesn't do that enough. But net, what he says he's doing is that he's trying to drive efficiency to the goal. And I think that's great. I think the way that he would then be selecting organizations could be uncomfortable at times as well. And that might result in some feelings that outsize impact. They're pushing out the traditional players, but I'm not going to argue that that's a bad thing. Some of these traditional players may need to go by the wayside. That might be the way to solve these problems.
Well, and also, the Library Project, we've been around 16 years.
Yeah.
We've never received $1 from the Bill Gates and Melinda Foundation. We've never received $1 from Microsoft. All right. So it doesn't mean that, like, it doesn't mean that I don't like the Bill Gates and Melinda Foundation and I don't like Microsoft. It's that
the other way I look at it, that she kind of wrote this was like, these billionaires are giving away their money to kind of as a branding strategy to, you know, Bill Gates is giving away money because he's a billionaire who feels guilty.
I don't think Bill Gates cares. I don't think these people care. Honestly, I'm going to take them at their face value. You know, I don't care. I just don't care. What are you doing in the world? Are you a positive influence on the world? Are you doing anything? You know, if they want a trophy on their mantle, fine.
Yeah.
But are you making the world a better place? Is Mark Zuckerberg making the world a better place through the Mark Zuckerberg Facebook Foundation, whatever? Is he?
Yeah.
Yes or no? Like, if he is, if he wants a trophy, that's fine. But I just don't care. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I want my neighbor also to be doing something good in the community.
Mm.
I think everyone should.
And how can we encourage more of that? Like, we run nonprofits. We are very experienced in giving as well as in programming. Like, what's our role in attracting those individuals into this and doing it as efficiently as possible? Like, of course, there's going to be inefficiency. And of course, they want a trophy. Well, like, separate all that. Like, how can we help them to do it a little bit better?
I think that as I can only speak on a nonprofit standpoint, when we work with corporate donors, individual donors, families, foundations, whatever.
Yeah.
We know what those lines are. We know what, on a marketing standpoint, what is an appropriate ask, and we know what an inappropriate ask is. And we have those defined before the conversation. Mm. They're within our values. They're within our fundraising guidelines.
Yeah.
They're within our programming guidelines. And so when a donor comes up to us and says, we want X, and that might be inappropriate, we can say really quickly, you know what, for these reasons, we don't do that, but we can offer this, but we can do this, but this. And one of those is we don't bring in large format cameras, like news media cameras, into schools. It's just not something we do. Now, do we document library donations? Yes, we do. But the big cameras scare the crap out of the kids.
Right.
And we just think it's inappropriate.
Right.
And we do get asked, but you know, we've we've never had a donor say, oh, like after hearing it, they're like, oh yeah, I understand. Like that wasn't appropriate. Like,
right.
Can we do this? Yeah, no problem. Like,
yeah,
you just have to.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen a lot of the same. And I can remember we work with a couple of basketball stars, and they would come into the school and they'd play some basketball. Like, they don't actually want the cameras there. You know who has the cameras there? Is their brand and the PR firm.
Yes.
They're just like, look, I just want to chill with some kids. You know, like, I flew halfway around the world. I make $1 billion an hour and whatever. I just want to play with the kids. And I was kind of thinking, like, you know, I've had a lot of conversations with individuals who've made quite a bit of money and just want to give it away. And, you know, like, if I think about how they could do it better, or like when I think like the questions they always ask me, it's like, what should I do? You know, like, how do I give away this money? Obviously, I think a lot of times they worry about, will they give it to the right organizations? Will it have a full impact? I mean, and that gets into, you know, obviously the administration costs and things like that. But, you know, when they're just getting started, they're asking questions that are just out there in the field that everyone's debating, like, and they're trying to figure out where to get started and trying to figure out how to get, like, who they should give their money to. And I think it just comes down to, I've always said, you know, just get started small and don't say anything. And, you know, find issues that you're really passionate about. Start with small organizations. Like, don't try and work with the big ones, because you will get lost. You won't know how to figure out what you're doing. But with a small organization, you can learn quite a bit. And then kind of go up from there. But yeah, I mean, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundations, their goal is just so different. It's just, we're going to end a disease. You know, we're going to.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And like, I have no problem with that.
Yeah.
I don't allow my body to use 1 ounce of energy worrying about what Bill Gates does.
So why do
I just don't care.
So why do other people then? Why do you think like this is always such a topic of conversation?
I don't know. I honestly, it's not how my brain works. I do not understand it. I don't understand this, like caring what, Angelina Jolie does.
Right.
I don't care. Like, I want her to be a good person. I want her to be a good person. I want her to use her platform. I want her to be able to elevate programs. What she elevates, I don't care. It's her money. It's her time. She can do whatever she wants.
And there's so many issues that need to be solved anyway. Like one person can't or shouldn't really try and do it all anyway, right?
Yeah. And it's like people come up to me all the time, and I'm sure they come up to you at the same time and say, like, why are you supporting China? China's bad. China's evil. And like, China's like, you know, this policy, that policy. And it's like,
yeah,
I am hopeful for China. China has been my home for years. I believe that my time is well spent supporting rural children's literacy in China.
Yeah.
If you don't believe that, that's totally fine. You can put your energy somewhere else.
I'm very much the same. And actually, I would actually answer now a little bit differently than what I did, say, 15 years ago. And I started like, look, China needs help 15 years ago. It needed or it benefited from. I'm saying it needed. And I'm not even saying I was the one to do it. I was just the one that did it, right? I was like, I see a gap. I'm going to do what I can to fix it because I have some tools and some time and some money. So I'm going to do that. Now I'd say, well, okay, good question. What are you doing back home that would reflect that you are showing importance to that issue as well? Like it's always what I find is this, it's like this, you're doing something. So I'm going to question why you're doing something versus, you know, hey, that's really cool that you're doing something. I'm doing something else, or like trying to learn from that process. It very much is like a takedown in the lack of doing something more so than saying like, this is the most, like having a discussion about, is this the most efficient? Is this the right way? Is this the right organization? Like learning so that you can learn and benefit others as well.
I honestly think that, I think a lot of it is maybe the sign of the times in a way where, where social activism is like begins and ends with changing your Facebook profile and having a hot take, you know, like we don't like this article, like railing about it. Like, this person believes in something that I don't believe. Hey, I'm all for what I love that this author has an opinion. I love it.
Right.
I don't agree with it.
Right.
I just don't. Philosophically, I don't. I'm not going to put my time and energy in the same way as she is with regards to the issues that she believes strongly in. I just want her to put her time and energy to support those issues. I want her to stop complaining about it and to start doing something about it.
That's what I think.
That's like,
it's in a sense like an, it's a form of tribalism in a way, right? Like you have people who are, okay, you might debate the strategy, the tactic, the intent, the amount of money they're putting toward, you can debate all that. But then what are you doing besides writing articles? Or what are you doing besides criticizing someone on Facebook? Or what are you doing besides, you know, standing in front of someone saying, you're not doing enough? It's, or creating a condition where people pull away. Like I can see where it becomes so negative that billionaires is like, you know what? I'm gonna stop giving money. Fine. I'm gonna go and buy an island. I'm gonna go buy an island and another private jet, number 19, because why not?
Listen, the people need to kind of like come to terms with everything is broken. Everything is broken. Hmm. But at the same time, finding the opportunities throughout the systems of the world to make the world a better place. That's it. Everything is broken. And there's a lot I don't like about the nonprofit sector.
Right.
But I find the spaces and the opportunities to be able to make an impact.
Yeah.
And so
there's a lot of people here who are trying to do the right thing that aren't scamming. They're using the resources that they've amassed for the greater good. Now, how they amass them is a totally different story, but the fact they want to, then reallocate that towards solving big humanitarian issues, I think that should be encouraged. And I don't think that.
Yeah. Yes. I 100% agree. And I would take it one step further. I think the title should be, I don't like how billionaires give money. Philanthropy is, could it improve? Sure. So could the tech industry, could the oil industry, so could the education industry. They could all be better.
Right.
But I'm curious. I do think that a lot of these billionaires have the opportunity to truly change how, innovate, the nonprofit sector.
I agree.
I think they could. Do I think that they're all going to do it? No. I think the tech industry is philosophically very different than the nonprofit sector.
Yeah.
I think it's very different.
Yeah, I think every sector is different than the nonprofit sector. I mean, and that's, but there's elements of you have a business and you have lights and you have staff and you have, you should have accountability. You should have boards that hold you. Yes. You should have those things. And I think that's actually where some of these, not all, but some of these billionaires who are giving money can offer a lot of value. I would take $100 from Elon Musk or Mark Bernioff or any of these individuals over $100,000 from anybody else.
Anyone.
First off, they give me $100. They're going to have an opinion about that $100 as if it were $100,000 or $100 million or whatever. And from there, I should either learn, grow, it would be of immense benefit to me than just someone who bequeathed me $100,000 without any voice. They believe in me, great. But does that mean that I'm improving, that I'm doing the best I can? I would like to know from some of these individuals who've built these organizations, some of them, I agree with all their advice. I like hearing it all the time. Of course not. But I think that getting it would be very important to myself and perhaps to others.
Yeah, I think that I would much rather $100,000. I think, but also I had a really good conversation with someone before this, about, there is a difference between being involved in an early stage nonprofit and an organization that has found its programming, found its leadership, found its rhythm after 15, 16 years, and I think I would take the $100. I think that the opinions matter more at the beginning.
Yeah.
And opinions matter a lot less when you're just rocking and rolling, when you know your programming, when you know the need, when you understand the situation on the ground, you know what the outcome is going to be.
So I would agree and disagree at the same time on the startup, for sure. On the startup for sure, that $100 and the advice that comes with it, far more valuable than when you're at your 2,000th of something. Yeah. However, the way I was actually thinking when you were talking about this, I was thinking why I take the money now is because I believe that I need to elevate. I'm striving to take it to the next level, that I'm going from 2,000, I want to go to 20 million. I can't get there with just the money and people saying, you've done a great job. I need someone to help me break out of that. And so that doesn't mean you take everyone's opinion, obviously, but if you can find someone who's going to give you that $100 and has that advice that's going to help you, then that for me right now is more valuable than the $100,000.
Well, yeah. And you know, I think that the world likes to look for absolutes, and there is no absolutes on this. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I want a good mixture of, I want some, like anyone that has a nonprofit organization or a mission-driven organization, a mission-driven company, whatever, you know, you're going to have some revenue that is just money being brought in with no opinions. And then you're going to have some revenue that's going to come in with different strings attached. And one of those strings attached might be a voice.
Right.
And, you know, and I think that I want a mixture of that. I want, I will, you know, and I would say that, you know, our mixture might be different.
The other way I look at it financially, getting $100,000 from anonymous Bob versus $100 or $1,000 from Bill Gates, I'm going to turn that thousand into 20 million a lot faster, because his friends are going to go, wait a second. Bill gave money, Bob gave money, Mark gave money, you know, Cheryl gave money.
Yep.
Oh, and they're going to,
well,
if you do them right, they're going to tell their friends, and that's going to bring in.
Yeah. You're 100% right. Because when I coach and mentor early stage nonprofit founders, you know, I say that to them. I say, listen, you need to go look for the small money today, right now. This week, go get it. You're going to run out immediately. You don't know many people. And then go for the big money.
Right.
Go for the big money. You use that small money to leverage bigger money.
Right.
And then, and you'll very quickly realize that the future of your organization, the future of your mission, your product, your service, whatever, is in the big money. It's not in the small money. It's just not.
Dude, I think we had a nice hot take right there.
Woo!